Hi, my name is Kel, and I want to welcome you to Lifeline Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We're a church committed to inspiring people to follow Jesus further. We believe that everything in Scripture points to Jesus, and no matter where you are in life, we believe everyone can find Him. And when we do, He leads us to a life that thrives. I hope you enjoy this week's sermon. Take care.
So last week, Kel kicked off the first part in a four-part series that we're calling Redirected for March. And really, it's just a book study in 1 John. And we've really just been diving into what John was, trying to redirect the church towards. The church was fairly young. There was a lot of false prophets, a lot of, redirecting towards things that don't matter, you might say. It was a new church, and so we're going to be looking into what it was that he was trying to say. And just to throw this out there, we're going to be in Hebrews a lot as well. Hebrews ties in very well with what John is for, with 1 John says. So we're going to be in that a good bit. But how many people in this room have ever heard the kids' song, Walking in the Light? The walk, walk, walk in the light. So y'all haven't heard it. Walk, walk, walk in the light. Hey. It goes, hey. Clearly y'all didn't come up through Connect 40 like I did. But that's one of the songs that we would sing. And if you were like me, you really, as a young kid, those kids that were just up here on stage, you did not like singing those songs. Personally, I felt I was bigger than that. I didn't have to be up here on stage doing the motions, making a fool out of myself, or what I thought. And really, I was singing a song about walking in the light, but really, I was just up there because I was promised candy afterwards. Or, more appropriately, if you were one of my brothers, you were promised to not get a spanking when you got home if you didn't act up on stage. Zero joy, zero enthusiasm. I was just up there because that's what I was supposed to be doing. It's what was expected, not because I wanted to. I was going through the motions, you might say. And it makes you wonder, am I doing that when it comes to my walk with Christ? Am I going through the motions? Am I doing it just because that's what's expected of me? Just because that's what I'm supposed to? I'm a Christian, so that's what I'm going to do. Not because I want to. Do I want good things to happen to me? Am I listening to 89.3 exclusively? Going to church, praying before a meal, doing all these things because I actually want to and I want to draw closer to God, or because it's an expectation that I feel I have to fill? Do I want to know God, to seek Him, to know Him, to want what He wants, to desire Him in all walks of my life? It's really just a kid's song, but I think there's a few parallels that we can pull from our attitudes as children, having to get up on stage, to our Christian walks with our Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning you've given to us and for the changing of the seasons and for the opportunity to gather here, Father, together, and the freedom to worship you, Father. We do not take that for granted, and we thank you for that right now. And we just ask in Jesus' name that you would be here, that you would fill our hearts and minds, that you would keep us receptive to what it is that you want us to hear. And Father, we're going to praise your name for it, and we thank you so much for your love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me ask you a question. When you come to the end of your life, what is it that you want to be remembered for? And you can lean over to your neighbor and you can say, as a kid, I wanted to be a policeman. I wanted to be a firefighter. I wanted to be a fighter. I wanted to do all these things, right? We had all these dreams and aspirations as kids that we wanted to be. Or maybe, getting into our adult years, we wanted to be known as a businessman. Right? A successful businessman who had all the toys, anything money could buy, I had it. Or maybe we wanted to be a mother who, provided her kids with the most incredible life. Your Stanley collection is the most colorful one. Your Tahoe is the shiniest, and you have all the anagrams. Is that what it is that you put on the shirts? The monogram? Is that what it is? Your clothes have the most, okay? Or maybe you wanted to be a world traveler. When you walked in the room, you wanted people to say, man, she lived life. She went and did all the things that I wish I could have done. I wish I lived her life. Is that who you want to be? You want to be known for your generosity, your knowledge, your wisdom, how you treated people, how you made them feel. Because believe it or not, at the end of our life, you're going to be remembered for something. And there's people, you know, that I've met that said, you know, I just peace out of this world. No one really remembered me for anything. I just want to slip out. But you will be remembered for something. And there's probably someone in your lives that, you know, has passed away, or, you know, whether it's a close family member or a coworker or whoever it may be. But when they come into your mind, something comes to your mind. You remember something about them. They were late, never did their work right. Or he was mean, treated the grandkids awfully, never wanted to go to his place. There's something that comes to your mind when you think of someone. So it's a serious question. What do you want to be known for? Will you be known for being stingy or gruff or insensitive? And I don't know about you or where you're at in your walk and how far you are in your walk with God, but wouldn't it be so incredibly humbling and encouraging to know that at the end of your life, when people think of you, they will say, you know what, that guy, he walked with God. Or that woman, I remember her, she walked with God. You could tell. There was something about her. She had this peace. She had this this spirit about her. You could tell that she did life with God. She walked closely with him. Isn't that the goal? As believers, what more could we possibly want than to live a life walking hand in hand with God, closely, like Chris said, to know him? And really, to walk with God just means keeping him at the center of our thinking and everything we do, say, or think, in our relationships, in our finances, in our plans. 1 John 1 says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And you know someone that we don't really talk about in the Bible a whole lot? I could probably count on one hand the amount of times I've heard this man mentioned, but it's someone that the Bible says he walked with God. His name was Enoch. And we see him very early on in the Bible in Genesis 5. It says this is very simple. Enoch walked with God. And then he was not there because God took him. And it's very quick. And if you're in a hurry, you just kind of skim through it and you're like, oh, Enoch walked with God. That's cool. What is that? It's very easy to miss. And you kind of have to piece parts of his story together throughout the Bible. And we'll get into that. He was not flashy. The Bible does not record him as a man who, you know, slew the Lord's enemies and had glory and spoils of war. He didn't part any large bodies of water or call down fire from heaven. He didn't shut the mouths of lions, at least not that the Bible records. And yet it says that he walked with God and that he was actually spared death because of his faith. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God or walk with God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And the word walk is really just a biblical expression of fellowship and obedience with God that results in divine favor. That's really what it is. It refers to the manner of life of a person living in nearness to God. Enoch's walk was a walk of dedication and devotion. He lived up to his name Enoch, which literally means dedicated. For 300 years, it says that he walked with God. And his life shows us two things. It points to two things in our lives that will lead to a successful walk with God. Not just for us, but for others. Enoch's walk was very much other-centric, and we'll get into that. First, his walk was visible. He demonstrated a faith that was in his heart. And like I said, it was for 300 years, the Bible said he walked with God. I couldn't remember as a young boy, we'd be in the car going somewhere out to eat, baseball practice, football practice, whatever it was. And we'd be in the car as a family, and Dad, you know, we'd go by a neighborhood or a subdivision, and he'd be like, oh, you know what, I think I built a house down there. Or then we'd go past another house, and I did the vinyl on that house. Yeah, my work wouldn't show up, or my help wouldn't show up. I remember that one. He talked about it. It was a part of what he did. No matter where we were at, for a stage in our lives, he would be pointing at houses that he built or garages that he built. And why did he say these things? Because he was proud. He was proud of what he did. He was successful at it. It was part of who he was, and he wanted to show it off. He wanted to point it out. Enoch's walk was visible to others for many, many years. It was a part of who he was for 300 years. Matthew puts it this way, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It was visible. You could see it. He was dedicated. Secondly, his walk was vocal. And have you ever gone out to eat with someone and all they really wanted to do was talk about something they were really into? Have you ever met someone who's really into cars? Like, don't get me wrong. I'm a big, you know, I like a good hobby as much as the next guy. You put me down, we start talking about hunting or fishing or maybe the gym or whatever it is, and I'll talk about it. Let's go. But car guys are a different breed. And I think y'all know some car guys, and you know that to be true. But like, you'll be sitting there, and you ask them a question, and they'll totally ignore it. And be like, dude, did you see that 61 Chevy that just went down the road? I'm like, no. Did you know that you can swap out the transmission in a 62, but you can't do it for the 63? Did you know that? It's like, no. Believe it or not, I know nothing about 60-year-old cars. Like, it's just not something I'm into. Like, all I asked you was, do you want a split appetizer? And here you are going on talking about cars. But that's awesome. That's what they're into. And they want to talk about it. Enoch talked about it. It was vocal. Jude, another book, tells us this about Enoch. It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones. He was a prophet. And he wasn't afraid to talk about hard things. He loved God, but he loved his people just as much. And the rest of verse 14, it's really just talking about God's judgment that will one day come. He spoke hard truths. His walk with God was vocal and unapologetic, and his faith enabled him to please God. Hebrews 11 puts it this way, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. His walk was visible and vocal, and he did it for 300 years. You don't have to live a flashy life to walk with God. You don't have to call down fire from heaven. You don't have to do incredible missions overseas. If that's what you want to do, great, but you can walk an incredible walk with God right where you're at. So here's a question. If someone came up to you and said, are you walking with God? What would you say? And let's just say you said yes. Because I think everyone in here, y'all, we're Christians, of course we walk with God. And you said yes. And so they're like, okay, so how do you walk with God? What does it mean to you to walk with God? And you kind of sit there and you're just like, well, I mean, I go to church, you know, most Sundays. Well, maybe during hunting season, it's every other, just because Sunday morning's a good time to be in the woods. I pray before every meal for the most part. God's great, God's good, and we thank him for his food, kind of thing. I talk to people about God, I guess, if they bring it up, but I'm not real vocal about it. I mean, so are we really walking with God? I pray before I eat. I do the right things. I keep the Ten Commandments. Sure, I'm walking with God. But it's something to think about if we are actually walking with God or if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, what's expected of us. And if you're sitting in this room and you're like, you know, maybe that's for me. Maybe I want to walk with God. Maybe I want to put off my old self. Well, the very first step is to profess faith in the Son of Man and God who came to this earth to die on the cross, to rise 3 days later, that we might have victory in him, that we might not have to be who we once were, a life clean and sold out to God. 1 John says it this way, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we want to walk with God, we can't even get to him unless it's through Jesus. He is our bridge. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is the first step. Walking in the light of God. He is our bridge. And walking in close relation to God requires our obedience to his commands via his son Jesus and the examples that he set. It requires a faith in Jesus that he was who he said he was, And now I get to live for him in faith that he was walking right there beside me, no matter what stage of life we're walking in. Paul comes down hard on Christians to walk by faith boldly for the kingdom and community. This is why life groups, this is why church family is so important. Paul, he understood what it was like to walk completely in the opposite direction of what God intended. But he also knew what it was like to find redemption and to turn around and to walk in the light of God. And it didn't come without pain. It didn't come without sorrow. It didn't come without hurt or confusion or betrayal. But at some point, we as believers and non-believers have to make a decision as to whom we will serve, the world and its empty pleasures and joy, or to step into the light of God. Because we can't sit on the fence. Because when judgment day comes, there's not going to be a fence to sit on. There's going to be this side, there's going to be this side, and there's not going to be a fence that we can ride on and say, well, I'll get it together someday. One day I'll start doing what I know I should be doing. It takes making the decision that you are done with who you used to be. For if we deliberately go on sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, if there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire about to consume the adversaries. Paul is saying, hey, I've been there. I get it. I know what it's like to walk in darkness. But when I knew better, there came a choice that I had to make. I'm not ignorant anymore. I know better. I'm not ignorant. To continue or to repent and turn from my ways, there are two options. To turn from my addiction, to turn from that porn, to turn from sexual immorality, those urges that I can't seem to quell. To turn from my alcohol addiction, to turn from those idols that I've set up in my life. And an idol, really, no one these days is bowing down to some statue. An idol is anything that takes time away from God and your family, the things that are important. That is what you've made an idol. Hobbies, work, whatever it is. He goes on and he encourages to stay the course. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need endurance so that you have done God's will, so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a very little while, the coming one will come and not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back and are destroyed. I love verse 39. We are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. Paul's drawing battle lines. In this verse, we are not those who draw back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and are saved. He's saying here what could happen, but then he's also saying, hey, this is not going to happen. He's drawing a line in the sand that he's not willing to cross. Our faith in him is what will keep us grounded, rooted, confident, and in check. Not because we think so much of ourselves, because we're human and we will mess up every day. We'll walk out of these doors and we'll mess up. But we will not let the enemy break us with lies, depression, feelings of unworthiness, or insecurity. Why? Because we get to live in victory, because we are covered in the blood of Jesus, and we get to live in that victory. We have faith and confidence in he who will never fail us nor forsake us. That is what it means to walk in the light of God, to walk with complete confidence and to rest in him, knowing there is nothing we could ever walk or go through that he wouldn't give us the strength to face. And I really think Christians these days should walk around with a little bit more confidence, a little bit kind of swag, if you might say, kind of the kids are saying these days, a little swag. But you can't tell me the disciples, when they walked into a new town, that they didn't, you know, walk with, you know, chest out, arms back. We have any UFC fans in here? Anyone in the UFC? Anyone know who Conor McGregor is? If you do, you know how he walks. He kind of walks through the hole like this right here when he comes in a room. He's confident. He's got this air, this walk about him. Now, he's arrogant. We're not called to be arrogant, all right? And you can see that. But he carries himself well. And I think Christians can tend to be a little bit meek when it comes to their fear of the enemy and the devil. And it's like, why? When the disciples strolled into town, they knew who they served. They knew who lived in it. They knew whose blood that they was covering them. Not because they were arrogant, but because they knew who they served. And what is this faith that leads to confidence? What does that look like? Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. That's what it means to have faith in God. Not because I can physically see God, but I can see what he's doing in my life. I can feel him in my heart. I can see what he's done for others. I can see the prayers that he's answered, which is why it's so important to write down prayers and to write down, you know, answered prayers or prayers that weren't answered that, you know, looking back, thank God that they weren't. Thank God I didn't get what I was praying for. In chapter 11, it goes on to list people who had great faith. There's a lot of them, and who walked a life centered on God. And verse 5 again talks about Enoch, and I believe there's a reason that there wasn't a whole lot said about Enoch in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, but then he's sprinkled throughout the whole Bible. It says this: by faith Enoch was taken away, so he did not experience death. He was not to be found because God took him, for before he was taken away, he was approved as one who pleased God. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Paul knew, I love Paul, he knew and understood how difficult life was. He lived a rough life. He had one of the most interesting lives in the Bible, from a Christian butcher, not a Christian who was a butcher, but a man who killed lots of Christians, to a sold-out zealot for Christ. He knew the passion. He knew that passion and drive and choosing to show up every day for the cause of Christ would be difficult. And he was very open and honest with his struggles. And a lot of what Paul went through and challenges that he faced, he lays them out there. You can read them. But he also knew that if he could endure, that if he could be dedicated like Enoch was, that he could surround himself with community to hold him accountable, how much easier it would be. He would not only survive, but he would thrive. Therefore, since we also have such a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And the cloud of witnesses that he's talking about is this church. It's your church. If you're here for the first time and just checking out this church, we don't want you to come to church here just to fill a seat, just so we could get our numbers up. We want you to find a community who will love you and surround you and protect you. Young people, pick godly friends who will be there for you, who will speak life into you, who will listen when you tell them things that you're struggling with. It's important. We cannot be afraid to open up to people about what we're going through. That's what community is for. Excuse me. Paul knew the importance of community. And really, why does it all matter? Why should we be worried about walking in the light of faith and having faith and endurance and community? Why? What does it really matter? What does it have to do with me? Why can't I live my life the way I want to? What's the end game? Why do we make such a big deal? Life is life. One day I will get right with God. One day I'll figure it out. But right now, I'm going to live my young life. I'm going to do what I want to do. Let me remind you, if I can, of what Paul says about this attitude. This is how we know that we know him. If we keep his commands, the one who says, I have come to know him, and yet he doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him the love of God is made complete. This is how we know that we are in him. But I keep the Ten Commandments. I don't sleep around, at least not much. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't do these things, and I don't believe I've set up any false idols. That's great. Good for you. Good for us. And people tend to think about the Ten Commandments as prison bars to their freedom, but really what it is train tracks to living life to the fullest. He doesn't give commands because he loves rules. He gives commands because he loves you. He said to them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets depend on these two. So do you actually keep his commands? Do you love him with all your heart, mind, and soul? Do you keep the second greatest command, which he says is like it? Do you love people? Because you can keep all the commands that you want and do and say all the right things because that's what's expected and because that's what you're supposed to do. But if it's for the sake of just following rules and not out of love for God and others, then I would question whether or not we actually do keep his command. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away. But the one who does the will of God remains forever. So I would encourage you as you go out throughout this next week to be thinking about these things. What does it look like to be a foot washer, to serve others that's visible? What does it look like to be a church that serves via the chicken dinner or inviting people to the Easter service? That's visible. How can I be vocal about my faith at work or when I'm running errands? How can we be vocal? How can I show others the love of Christ as I raise my children? How can I be vocal? The world is passing by quickly. Let's be visible and vocal, and let's show the world what it looks like to walk in the light of God. Let's pray. Father, I just pause before you and I just thank you so much for your love to us. Thank you so much that you are good, that you are here, and that you listen when we call out. Father, when we go through those struggles and those things in our life that we don't understand, Father, help us to know that you're walking right there beside us. Help us to wake up and choose you every day knowing that it'll be worth it. Knowing, Father, that it's not about us. It's about you. It's about serving others. It's about making your will known. And Father, we'll give you the glory and the praise, and we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.